Welcome to the Catch the Fire Church podcast. We're so glad you're joining us, and we hope you're encouraged by this message.
All right. Well, I'm very excited this morning to be able to speak on Jesus, our healer. Jesus, our healer. And I thought Jess did an amazing job last week on Jesus, our shepherd. And so I want to, yes, just a few people appreciated that, Jess. Wait a minute. Oh, well. So I just think it's amazing that in that video there, the little thing that the team caught of me speaking was on being the ministry of Jesus, because I had forgotten that that was part of the video. And as I was preparing for this morning, I felt the Lord wanting me to start off by saying, when we think of Jesus, our healer, we tend to think of Jesus, our healer, rather than Jesus, our healer. And if we're not careful, I think the biggest, greatest danger as Christians and as the body of Christ, as the church globally, that we fall into the mode of being basing our ministry style on the ministry of John the Baptist, as opposed to the ministry of Jesus. And you say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, think about John the Baptist. What was his role? His role was to point to Jesus. His role, the entire purpose of his existence as the greatest prophet, Jesus said, that had ever lived up until that moment, was to point out to the world, this is the Messiah. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And that is a very powerful aspect of our ministry, but it's actually the ministry of an old covenant. And we are now in the new covenant. In fact, the new covenant himself dwells in us. And our purpose, God's purpose, that he has purposed for us in Christ Jesus, is not merely for us to point out to the world Jesus, Jesus in the heavens, Jesus as the Son of God, who is eternal God, which is important for us to do, but it's actually to manifest Jesus on the earth today, now, in reality. To be a representation of Jesus on the earth. If your life and my life is not a life of supernatural miracles on a daily basis, then we're living short of where God intends us to live in Christ Jesus. So think about this. When was the last time God did a miracle through you? When was the last time somebody was healed because you ministered to them? And any one of you who has ministered to somebody and they've been healed, you know it wasn't you. It was Jesus in you. To be precise regarding the Trinity, it was the Holy Spirit on you who did that miracle. And that, everybody, is very, very exciting, because it means that every single one of us in this room are qualified for the ministry of Jesus. Every one of us who are born again are qualified in Christ Jesus for Jesus, our healer, to be manifested to the world through us. Acts chapter 10, verse 38 gives us a glimpse. Peter, speaking in the Holy Spirit in Cornelius' household while he's preaching to the Gentiles the gospel of the kingdom. And as he's preaching, he says this, "You know of Jesus of Nazareth." I think that's fascinating. Here's a bunch of Gentiles, the friends and colleagues of a Roman centurion, and Peter says, "Y'all know of Jesus of Nazareth." I mean, that's how famous Jesus was, because Jesus is our healer. Jesus had spent 3.5 years revealing that God, Jehovah Rapha, or Yahweh Rapha, or Jehovah Rapha, is our healer. He says, you know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Father, I thank you so much for your eternal word. I thank you that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I thank you that each one of us in this room that have invited Jesus to be our Lord and Savior, those who are born again, virtually all of us. I thank you that you dwell on the inside of us and that we dwell on the inside of you. And I ask you that you would anoint us with the Holy Spirit and with fire, with power, and that you would enable us to spend the rest of our lives, whether it's in our business arena, whether it's in the shopping malls, or as we go about our daily lives, whether it's on an airplane, Lord, wherever it is, Lord, we ask you that you'd enable us, just like Jesus, to go about doing good and healing all who are oppressed by the devil. For God is with us because we're in Christ Jesus. I ask this in your precious name. Amen. And John the Baptist, fascinating, though he pointed out Jesus, he himself, there's no record of him following Jesus, which was a shock to me. He actually had disciples, Andrew being one of them, Peter's brother, who was a disciple of John the Baptist. But when he heard John the Baptist say, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world," revelation hit his heart and he realized it's an awesome thing to be a disciple of John the Baptist. However, this is God in the flesh. And sometimes you have to be careful that you are not loyal out of sentimentality to a wrong paradigm. Andrew realized and recognized immediately John the Baptist is pointing at Jesus, but Jesus is the real deal. And Andrew and his friend immediately became followers of Jesus. Be careful that you don't just believe in Jesus without following him. And if Jesus, if his modus operandi is to walk the world doing miracles, signs, and wonders, if you're following him, you'll walk the world doing miracles, signs, and wonders. If our life amounts to being part of the church, coming into a church building, we're singing worship songs and listening to preaching and warming up the seats for about an hour and a half, or the little patch of floor that we're standing on, if that is what our Christian walk is, then we're a very long way from where Jesus wants us to be. Because what he really wants us is that all of our worship, all of our speaking, all of the things that we listen to, the result of every podcast that we listen to, our life devoted to Jesus, is simply for this one thing, that Jesus Christ is Lord over all and that the world knows it through us. Not because we are somehow special, not because we take the coolest selfies, but because Jesus does his miracles through us. You know, in Matthew chapter 4, all of the early chapters of Matthew are just so exciting, you kind of almost have to wear your seatbelt just to read Matthew properly. I mean, it's explosive. Jesus does the most extraordinary miracles. Two demonized men that were so demonized that they could literally break their chains, hanging out in tombs. And when Jesus arrives on the beach, they come running out of the tombs and throw themselves at Jesus' feet. Do you know that even if you're filled with 2,000 demons, that not one of those demons' will is greater than the human will, when the human will wants to come to the feet of Jesus? Next time you meet somebody who can't get over their problems, just remind them there's not a single problem on planet Earth that God hasn't equipped a human being, never mind whether they're Christian or not, a human being can overcome evil with their will. Now imagine if that's true of these two demoniacs who had been so overcome with their will that those demons could do whatever they want. They could murder people. They could beat people up. They could do whatever. And it was so dangerous, they had to be chained. But when these men decided, I'm going to the feet of Jesus, not one of those 2,000 plus demons could stop him, stop them. I mean, it must have been so exciting, you know. They're like, Jesus is like, come out of them. What's your name?
Legion.
And all the disciples are like, that's a lot. I don't care how you cut that. That's a lot. Boy, those poor guys, man, look at them. They're naked. They're naked. I know. And Jesus is like, go. Come out of them. And they're like, pleading with him, don't send us to the abyss. And he's like, okay, well, you can go into those pigs up there. You got to love Jesus. There's only one thing worse than the abyss, a pig. And they go up and it says that 2,000 pigs that were on the hillside go racing off the hillside and drown in the Sea of Galilee. I've been there. I've seen the cliffs. It must have been epic. My family used to have 1,200 pigs. Praise God, they decided to get out of pigs. When I was a little boy visiting my family from Nigeria, when I went to England, and I went to school, and they're all like, oh, he's a smith. It's their farm that makes the whole village stink. Matthew 4:23-24 says this. Jesus was going throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness among the people. The news about him spread throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all who were ill, those suffering with various diseases and pains, demoniacs, epileptics, paralytics, and he healed them. I want you to notice that it says that Jesus healed every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. What's left out of every? That means that every single sickness and disease that you ever see or face, either in you or in another human being that's standing in front of you, that sickness has already bowed its knee to Jesus. There's no sickness known to human beings that has not already bowed the knee to Jesus. And our job is simply to reinforce that again. It's that simple. By the way, just in case I forget to say this, I'm going to say it now. I hope this doesn't lose me any friends, but close to 30 years ago, I used to be a police officer in the UK. That means I was dressed up in a blue uniform with a big old helmet on my head. And I used to have a truncheon, which is a stick, a fancy name for a stick, down my trouser leg, my pants leg. And so I used to say, stop, or I'll say stop again. Or maybe I would have to say, stop, or I'll throw my stick at you. See, I had a lot of authority, but I didn't have a lot of power. But I want you to just imagine for a moment if, as a police officer, I had managed to catch somebody at 4 o'clock in the morning in the act of burgling, breaking an entry into your house and stealing $500 from your house. And you're thinking, thank God for that officer. Look at him. You're looking out of your bedroom window and I've caught them right in your front yard. And then mysteriously, I walk off and leave them there. At which point they run off. And the reason I walked off is that I was catching an Uber, or perhaps driving my little panda car, that's what we used to call them, and driving all the way to Her Majesty the Queen in Buckingham Palace, waking her up at 4:30 in the morning and saying, "Your Majesty, it's Officer PC 2055 Smith. Here I am at your service, Your Majesty. What are you doing waking me up at this time? Your Majesty, I managed to actually catch somebody in the act of breaking an entry." "Really? And what did you do?" "Well, Your Majesty, knowing that all the authority was yours, I wanted to give glory to you, so I decided that I would come to you." She is not going to say, "That's so humble of you. What a genius officer. So wonderfully humble, lowly in spirit. I do like that." No, she's going to say, "Get out of my sight." And she's going to immediately call the authorities and she's going to say, "Strip that officer of his warrant card. Make sure he never wears uniform again. He's a disgrace. He's a disgrace to his uniform." He said, "What?" "Yes, because it's true. It was Her Majesty's authority. My uniform said that. My warrant card said that. The fact that I had a truncheon said that. If she made the rule and the government made the rule that the officers could carry guns, we'd have a gun. Why? Because the authority said that. Because all authority in England belongs to the Queen and the government. And when all of that authority is given to you and you're dressed up in that authority, you're called to use it. Are you tracking with me, everybody? You see, because when you don't use it, you're guilty of falling a long way short of your great possibility, and not just possibility, what you're rightfully called to do and called to be. And that is exactly what it looks like when you are in the presence of someone who's sick and you say to them, "You know what? I'm just going to ask Jesus to come and heal you." See, I mean, it's just little me, you know? I mean, you know, if you knew all the things that I've done, you'd know I really shouldn't really touch you. Humility is never denying who you are. Refusing to step up and stretch your hand out and touch somebody or believe for a miracle in a moment when someone's sick will never make heaven pleased with you. That's not humility, that's stupidity. I mean, did I say that? Matthew 9, key verse here. Verse 35, all the way to 10:1. Now, I want you to imagine that there's no separation between the last verse, verse 38, and 10:1. We're just going to read it. Jesus was going through the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. There it is again. Seeing the people, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest." Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Boom! Jesus, our shepherd, and his answer to the reality that the crowds are way too big for him to touch every one of them is for him to turn around now and designate every one of us as shepherds, with him, our shepherd, on the inside of us, and dressed up as shepherds in the clothing of the Holy Spirit. You see, Jesus was able to do miracles, signs, and wonders on the earth, not because he was the second person of the Trinity, although he was, not because he was the Son of God, although he was, but because as the Son of God and as the second person of the Trinity, in our flesh, chose not to operate out of his godness, but chose instead to live out of his manness, trusting in the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon him to do everything that only God can do. Why did he do that? So that he could be our Savior. So that actually, as a man, he could pay for all of our sins. So that as a man, he could heal all of our diseases. He knew he was God. In fact, the problem back then was that he knew he was God, but everybody else just thought he was a man. The problem today is the opposite. The problem today is that we're cool that Jesus was a man. Sorry, we're cool that Jesus was God. We struggled that he was actually a man just like us. And so we elevate him to hero status of, yeah, well, he healed the sick and he cast out demons and he raised the dead and he cleansed lepers and he did all of that because he's God. But not me. I'm just a man. It's just little me. It's little you filled with big Jesus. The devil's got a serious problem. Jesus said, it's better that I go, because if I go, the Holy Spirit will come to you. And when the Holy Spirit comes to you, there's going to be up to 1 billion Jesus walking around planet Earth. That's a serious issue for the devil. He could get away, and he thought he had got away, with dealing with just the one man, Jesus. He even managed to put him to death on a cross. But he didn't realize that that was the worst thing he could have possibly done. Because that man was raised from the dead by the Father. And having raised him from the dead, that man now, eternal spirit, that same Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, that same Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Father, can now be on you. Is in you as a born-again believer, but that doesn't make you dangerous yet. A believer doesn't make you dangerous. Even the devil believes and shudders. A believer is not what makes you dangerous. What makes you dangerous is the Holy Spirit that you carry. The anointing on the outside of you. That's what makes you dangerous. By the way, I just want to ask a simple question to all y'all. Why is it that when other people are preaching and I'm sitting listening, time seems to take so long? But then when I get up to preach and I'm holding the microphone and preaching, it's like time just races by and I don't have half the time to say what I want to say. That's not right. Jesus said to his disciples, Luke 24:49, having raised from the dead, he says, behold, I'm sending forth the promise of my Father upon you. But you're to stay in the city until you're clothed with power from on high. See, the thing is, okay, if our only dimension of the work of the Holy Spirit is the Spirit's work in us so that we're born again and we leave it at that, we are no different. Let me say it like this. Our greatest potential in ministry is simply to have the ministry of John the Baptist. There's Jesus. Another thing about John the Baptist is not only did he not follow Jesus. By the way, this is no criticism of John the Baptist. I'm just wanting to help you realize you've shaped a lot more of your life on John the Baptist than you have on Jesus. You see, the other thing about him is not only did he not follow Jesus, there's no record that he did a single miracle. And the only time that he actually almost slipped into unbelief when he was in prison was when he sent his disciples to Jesus to ask, are you really the one? And what did Jesus answer? His answer was, the sick are healed. Go tell him the sick are healed. Demons are cast out. The lepers are cleansed. The living receive their dead back from life, back to life. In other words, all the signs of the kingdom are being manifested. But guess what, everybody? By this point in Jesus' ministry, all of those things were not just Jesus doing them. It was actually Jesus' disciples doing them. And I don't know, but I know enough about human nature to know that John was probably okay with Jesus doing all the miracles. He was not so cool when he found out that Andy was doing them as well now. Do you get what I'm saying? And honestly, if you stop being the ministry of Jesus, if you start ministering in the power of the Holy Spirit from this moment on, God is going to take you seriously and you're going to start seeing miracles. However, don't expect the church at large to endorse your ministry or you. In fact, come to think of it, never ever let another human being be what decides whether you are going to move in the supernatural power of God. Because you've been called by heaven to do that. All right, so well, one of the biggest things that hinders us from believing that God does miracles is that we've been taught that God is fickle. We've been taught by the church that God's fickle. We've been taught by the world that if there is a God, he'd be fickle. What do you mean by fickle? I mean, one minute he's willing, the next minute he might not be willing. How do we know that we think like that? Well, because we pray things like, well, Lord, would you heal this person if it be your will? That is the dumbest prayer ever. That is the dumbest prayer ever. Not only that, but it's actually sinful. It discredits who God is. I'm going to prove it to you because Jesus only did what he said and heard his Father doing, John 5:19. In Matthew 8, 1-3, a leper comes and throws himself at Jesus' feet and he says, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Wow. If God was fickle, what a moment of opportunity for God to show the world through his Son, I might be willing, but I also might not be willing. I mean, what a lead in. If you are willing. And Jesus looks at the man and replies, I am willing. And he does the unthinkable. He touches a leper right in his oozing leprosy. And he says, I am willing. In other words, he's actually using one of the names of God, one of his names. I am the good shepherd. I am the gate. I am the door. I am the light of the world. I am who I am. I am the truth. I am the way. I am the life. I am willing. I'm always willing. It's not that I was willing or that I might be willing. I am willing. Any moment in the eternal present, I'm willing. I'm the everlasting willing one. Boom. Come on. Another thing that holds us back from seeing miracles, that reduces our confidence, is that we've been taught somehow that God uses sickness to teach us a lesson. Let me just say this. Get rid of that God. He's not the true and living God. You know why? Because God doesn't need, he doesn't have to lower himself to do that kind of discipline to teach us a lesson. He's not evil. He's perfect. I'm going to nail this one now, everybody. How many of you in this room have children? Raise your hands. Keep your hands up if you believe that disciplining your children is good for them and that will help them to become a blessing in the world. Quest is like, grabs his dad's hand and pulls it down. Keep your hand up. Okay, if you believe in, if you've got children, you believe in discipline, that it's a good thing, keep your hands up. Okay, how many of you would give your children flu to teach them a lesson? Just flu for a weekend. Just a small weekend. I mean, it's only 48 hours. Okay, all right, how many of you, keep your hand up if you'd give them flu for just 8 hours? Is there anyone that would give your children flu for 8 hours? Okay, you would? Okay, all right, well, don't worry. We've got ministry team to help you. That's not to shame you, don't worry. I'm glad you said that because that's funny. That's fun. You see, Jesus said, if you, earthly fathers, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? We could say this. If you, earthly fathers, know instinctively that you would never give sickness to your children, how much more? Though you're evil, how much more will your heavenly Father, who's perfect, never have to resort to giving cancer to someone to teach them a lesson? Cancer exists because death exists, and death is sickness slowed down. Sickness is death slowed down. Thank you, Lord. Sickness is death slowed down. If you didn't have an immune system and a cold virus was floating in the air this morning and you breathed that in, your immune system would not be able to slow that death down, and you'd be dead by halfway through this week. You see, sickness is death slowed down. If you understand that, you will not tolerate sickness anywhere near as much, and you won't tolerate it in yourself, and you won't tolerate it in others. I want to invite you to stand, because my time has run out. And I feel like I want to preach for another 3 hours on this subject. But I'm not going to. Because I actually want to make room for you to heal the sick. To heal the sick is very simple. Imagine that you are a kingdom enforcer. You're dressed up with Jesus on the inside, in union with him, and you're dressed up with Jesus on the outside, because that's who the Holy Spirit is. He's the Spirit of Jesus and the Spirit of the Father. In that uniform, and I say it loosely, in that uniform, you don't need to ask God up there to come and heal the sick. It's your job to stretch out your hand and heal the sick. Think about at work. Your boss sends you somewhere to a house. Imagine if you worked for an air conditioning, heat and air HVAC company, and your boss sent you to a home to go install an HVAC system. How boring would your life be, and how fast would you be fired if you got there and instead of installing that HVAC system, you waited for your boss to show up? Come on. It's time to stop waiting for God to show up when he's already showed up because you showed up. You are the ministry of Jesus. And the simplest way to heal the sick is to simply say this to them. I've got good news for you. Say that with me. I've got good news for you. Say that with conviction. I've got good news for you. The kingdom of heaven is within your reach. That means that you could just reach out your hand and you've already touched the kingdom, right? And then you could say to them, kingdom of God, come. Say that with me. Kingdom of God, come. That's a command. Then you can say, will of God, be done. How do we know we can say that? Because he's the everlasting willing one. And he's on the inside of us. And then you can say, and sickness, disease, or whatever it might be, spirit of infirmity, come out of this person now. Tell them, take a deep breath and breathe that thing out. And then stop. Stop. Literally stop. You know why? Because it'll stop you going into prayer mode. And you haven't been asked to pray for the sick. You've been asked and told to heal the sick. You've actually been commanded to go heal the sick. Now listen, guys, I know I'm preaching kind of furiously this morning. At least I feel as though I am. Because I'm half preaching to myself here. Miracles. It's what it means to be catch the fire. We're not trying to be like every other church in this region. We're not trying to be anything. We simply want to manifest Jesus. We want Jesus to be made known. We want him to be revealed. So I want you, if you're struggling with any issue whatsoever, it could be a sore back, it could be some kind of ailment, some kind of sickness, whatever it might be, I want you to just get in touch with that. And I want to ask you to bravely put your hand up so that we can minister to each other. So if you need healing, I want you to raise your hand right up. Okay. All right. That's quite a few people. Okay. All right. Okay. Now hold them up good and high. The rest of you, go find someone. And if you're near someone who's got their hand up and no one else is around who doesn't have their hand up, get together with someone who's got their hand up and make sure the tallest one goes first. All right. Yeah, or you might need to be a good receiver and a good deliverer, a good delivery system. Okay. All right. So I want you to pair up, or two or three, be with someone. And as soon as someone's with you, put your hand down. Okay, then I know that someone's with you. So, all right. Now listen, everybody, listen up. The person who has the most authority to heal their body in Christ Jesus is yourself. Secondly, your spouse. So in our family, Kate and I make sure that if one of us has the tiniest bit of symptom, we immediately offer to minister to each other. It's just one of the rules of our marriage, because we know that we have the most authority. All right. So, okay. Now, don't think about yourself right now. You're dressed up in Jesus. Think about him and ask the person, tell me in just a few words what your situation is. Go for it. Tell me in a few words, what's your situation? Just a few words. Don't let them go on and on about how much they're suffering. Before you know it, their faith will be in the boots and so will yours. Okay, now, say to them this. Look them in the eyes. I've got good news for you. The kingdom of heaven is within your reach. Okay, now say this. Kingdom of God, come now. When? When? When's now? Now? Right now. Will of God be done in my friend, just as it is in heaven. Now, in Jesus' name. And I command every sickness, disease, infirmity, and evil spirit, come out of my friend now. Now, just symbolically grab that snake by its tail, off of their shoulder, off of their head, whatever it is. Just every snake has a tail, guaranteed. All right, just grab it by its tail and yank it out. Okay, now tell them to check it. Tell them, do something you couldn't do before, but don't look for the pain, look for the miracle. Woo! And ask them, is it like 100% better, 50% better, 20% better? And cheer them up with the reality that 10% better is impossible for you. That means God just showed up and touched them. Okay, then just have another go. Let's say kingdom of, let's go again. Kingdom of God. Come now. Will of God. Be done now. 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 In Jesus' name. You do not have to suffer with this. I command that spirit of infirmity out of you. And I bless you. Be healed. In Jesus' name. All right, now tell them to check it. Tell them, check it. Do something you couldn't do before. All right. Okay. How many of you have had a measure of healing? Just raise your hands right up high. Oh, my goodness. Look at that all over the room. What? Oh, man, that's so good. That is so good. And guess what, everybody? Guess what? This man of God right here never laid hands on one of you. Because these men and women of God laid hands on you, commanded healing, enforced the kingdom. And if you think it was easy in here, I got some really good news for you. It's even easier outside in the world. Okay. Jesus, our healer? Oh, yeah, you bet he is. In me, through me, in you, through you, not just in the heavens. God bless. Have an amazing week. And heal the sick.
Thank you so much for joining us. There are so many opportunities to grow, connect, and be encouraged. To learn more, visit ctfraleigh.com and follow us on social media. Thank you so much for being part of the family. We are so thankful for you.